Hello there, I'm Colleen.
And I'm Anders. We're nerds who love science fiction and fantasy stories, so of course we love Star Wars.
And if there's one thing the internet just can't get enough of, it's nerds talking about Star Wars. So each episode, we journey to a galaxy far, far away to discuss what's new in the Star Wars canon and beyond. This is yet another Star Wars podcast.
Yes, and today we are very excited to share our initial reactions and theories around the newest couple episodes of season three of Star Wars, The Bad Batch. I'm just still so happy that the show is back.
Me too. Every single week, I'm like, ooh, we get new episodes. Yay.
Yeah. These episodes were written by Ezra Nachman and Amanda Ross Muñoz. This is your official spoiler warning for these episodes and all things Star Wars. So if you're ready, grab a drink from your local cantina, don't get hustled by a 12-year-old, and watch out for the ice graboid as we discuss The Bad Batch Season 3, A Different Approach, and The Return. Let's punch it with the recap.
All right, here we go. We start with a different approach and more Omega and Crosshair hijinks, which I am very much here for. With the damage their shuttle sustained in their escape, Omega and Crosshair are forced to crash land on the planet Lao, which is cold. Like, we get to see the breath puffs and everything, so it's a chilly place. They make their way to a nearby spaceport where Crosshair wants to use force to hijack a ship. Shocking that Crosshair wants to use force.
I can do this
Well,
so much faster if you just let me shoot him.
right? Like, for real, just let him do his thing, Omega. After what happens in this episode, she just should have let him do it. But Omega insists on acquiring the money they need to bribe a clerk through her gambling skills. However, she gets cheated by the odious Captain Man. Ugh.
Of course, his name is Man.
Of course, fucking hate him so much. Omega is forced to give back a portion of her winnings. Batcher is snatched by Man's troops.
Not
Rude.
nice.
No, not nice at all. So Omega goes after her with a very reluctant Crosshair following. He's like, leave the dog. We have to go. And she's like, excuse me. Did I leave you behind and go get my dog when I was escaping from Mount Tantus? Like, come on, Crosshair. You know what she's going to say. They come upon a spaceport filled with containers of imprisoned creatures, which is also not cool, Captain Man. Not okay. Oh my gosh. Imperial troops find them, of course, and quarter them. Crosshair suggests that this is time. Like, it's time to use his special skills to resolve their situation.
And Omega's like, yeah, okay, let's do it your way.
Yeah, now's the time. It's not a different approach anymore. We're just going for the tried and trusted. They do manage to free Batcher, however, they steal a freighter and they escape the planet. You might be wondering what happened to Captain Man, but don't worry, he was eaten by one of the captured creatures. Very
They
fitting for
freed all
this
the captured
character.
creatures, they opened all
They
the crates.
did. They did. Omega was wondering about that, and Crosshair's like, Jesus Christ, we gotta get out of here. Just getting one creature is gonna be hard enough, but they do free all of them. Later, Omega and Crosshair rendezvous with Hunter and Wrecker, leading to both a joyous and, in Crosshair's case, very tense reunion.
Yes.
Whew, the ending of that
Meanwhile,
episode, I was like, oh no. What's gonna happen?
while all that's happening back on Tantus, Hemlock is trying to interrogate Nala Se, who's doing her absolute best. Huh, that's fun.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I had no idea she was so impetuous and
False
capricious that she
positives.
tried to escape.
False positives are expected. You know, they happen every once in a while.
They do. What's she supposed to do? It's not like it was her job to investigate every false positive.
I Then we head over and we get the return. Crosshair is, we're getting a showcase kind of his growing trauma and his, I don't want to call it survivor's guilt, but
Yeah,
because
this like reluctance.
that's more Hunter's thing, as Crosshair will point out to him later in this episode.
Yeah. A lot of finger pointing going on in
A
this
lot of finger pointing,
episode.
but Crosshair is still not really coming to terms with the fact that this tremor in his hand is a serious thing. He's not who he once was skill wise.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the others are kind of, they're willing to put up with him. They're willing to put up with him mainly because of Omega insisting on it.
Yeah.
Wrecker is like, that's good enough for me. And Hunter is very reluctant, but still willing to tolerate Crosshair's presence.
Yeah.
Crosshair himself is, yeah, he's still struggling with the repercussions of his betrayal and his time in captivity.
He's a
Before
broken
you,
dude.
yeah, but you know what? There are less horrible places to convalesce. They are back on Pabu, and it is
Yes.
absolutely beautiful. As always,
So
I want to go to
gorgeous.
this beach.
It's so beautiful.
And we get another reunion though, because Echo comes back too. And together, the Bad Batch stay all together again, minus Tech, RIP. I did like that they acknowledged that Tech's absence here.
And they have his goggles still.
Yeah. But
Oh.
the Batch is together again, and they are discussing Mount Tantus and the experiments being conducted while the clones there to get more details. From Nala Se's data pad that they still have, they have to follow Crosshair's suggestion to compare it to or to connect it to a data port at an Imperial facility to get around the encryption. And he suggests the one on Barton 4 because it was a pretty out of the way outpost, not that heavily guarded. And when they get there, they actually find that it is now completely abandoned
And
and
they're like,
therefore.
Crosshair, how did you not know? And he was like, oh, you know, they debriefed me while I was in my prison cell. Thanks,
Was
guys.
great.
I
Of
love
course.
his sarcasm. We really needed him back with the team.
Absolutely. And this whole time, Omega is telling Crosshair, you have to talk to Hunter. Hunter, you have to talk to Crosshair. She's very much being the big sister that she
Yeah.
is.
Communication. Yeah, I loved it when she did drop the I'm older than you. Why? Crosshair's like,
But since the depot's been completely abandoned, they're forced to divert power away from its defense perimeter
That should be fine.
in order to kind of get it up and running. And that invites a huge worm under the ice to attack them. So, setting aside their current squabbles, the Batch all work together. They lure the creature outside the perimeter before they reactivate and keeping them all safe. Crosshair has kind of earned his squad mate's trust back, he earned that armor that they gave him back. And with the information they've recovered, which includes the fact that there are a lot more clones on Tantus than they thought, the Batch sets out to free their brothers from the Tantus base. And it's just so good. These were great.
Yeah, these were really, really good. Like, once again, they are really pulling out all the stops here with like the animation budget because holy shit, everything looks
Absolutely.
fantastic.
I really want to shout out the spaceport and that like open air market there. Like everything, the texture that they got on that stuff, like everything felt like I could reach out and touch it, even though it's animated.
Oh yeah, for real. It looked fantastic. It's like I'm very nervous for them for being here, but also this looks like kind of like it's a fun market. Like let's go hang out and get some not Mae Luron fruit, but the ones that look like Mae Luron fruit. Because of course it's a different fruit. We'll talk about that later. I'm just really happy that the batch reunited so quickly. We talked about that last time about how we were hoping that it wouldn't take too long, and dang, it really did not take too long. Like Omega, super resourceful. She's like, no, I'm bringing us to the planet, yo. This is where we're gonna meet. Even Crosshair's like, ugh, they probably won't be here. And she's like, yes, they will. They'll be here immediately. I love it. I did like that they didn't just brush over this tension that was going to happen between Crosshair and Hunter specifically, because of course Wrecker's going to be like, oh, I forgive you, bro. Here's your armor. Welcome back. You're my friend. You're my brother. We're going to hug now. And Hunter's in the background like, ugh. Like, you were kind of my best bro before, but now you betrayed us and I don't trust you anymore, which is like super fair. I loved all of the menagerie of creatures. I wish we could have gotten even more creatures if possible. The illegal shipping of all of these animals, like probably being sent to Hemlock for experimentation. Like these poor babies. Set them free. Set them free forever. Especially Batcher. She did not deserve to be put in a cage again. Like that was
No,
just rude.
never again.
No. And best girl, I mean, her digging in the snow at the door on the base. Oh my God. She's like, oh, we're digging now? We're digging? Are we digging into the snow? We're digging? And she just like looks so happy to be with them and to be like part of the crew. And she really likes Crosshair. Like, I wasn't sure how that was going to go down, but she really does like Crosshair, which is hilarious because Crosshair, he's like the dog dad who the family gets the dog and he's like, I will not be taking care of the dog. You will all be taking care of the dog. But then he ends up snuggling with the dog on the couch. And
all the
it's his
time.
dog. Yeah, it's
Absolutely.
now his dog. I love those kind of things. Like, obviously she's Omega's, but for real, let's be fair. Her heart belongs to Crosshair.
Yes. Yeah, I got to agree with you. I'm really happy that the batch got reunited so quickly. And I love how it ultimately happens. The reunion itself, I really like the fact that Wrecker was the first one out of the ship, not Hunter, because he and Omega just have that kind of special connection. And I really like the fact that, I mean, Crosshair points it out to Hunter that Hunter did not rescue her. She rescued herself. It's like Omega did this with help, obviously, from Crosshair and everything, but Omega was the driving force on this. And that just added to Hunter and Crosshair's tension later. So it was a really good payoff for that. I also really liked going back to some of the visuals. It was still pretty dark on Lao, but then we got back to Pabu. So there were these bright colors. It was a really nice injection of color and vibrancy. And then when we got to the snow planet, it's very bright, obviously. So it was a good contrast to what we've seen so far because everything has been very dark, very contained. I also really like how quiet a different approach is because there's so much tension the entire time. There's not a ton of score on a lot of scenes.
No.
And everyone's talking very, very subdued for the most part.
Yeah, except the loud Trandoshan in the
Yeah,
bar.
in the bar.
Then he gets schooled
And then he gets schooled
by a
by
child.
Omega. I'm really excited to see where this goes now. I think everything about these were absolutely fantastic, and I cannot wait for what comes next.
It's going to be interesting because we still have quite a few episodes to go.
Yeah, now we'll talk about that at the end a little bit, but I guess I don't know. My theories are coming up short in some of them for filling out the number of episodes that we have left.
I know, right? Like, there's going to be some extreme drama. They're either going to, I mean, Clone Rebellion, I'm hoping that's what's coming, but we still have a ways to get there, especially if they have to rescue everybody on Tantus first. Like, what are we doing? Where are we going? But I like that uncertainty. This kind of like, I trust them with the story.
Oh,
So I'm
100%.
not like, not worried, but just kind of sitting here like, oh my God, what are they going to do? Like, what? And of course, the episode titles don't really give you any hint
No.
of anything. Like these two, A Different Approach and The Return. No idea what they were going to be about.
No. All right, moving on. We are going to head into Easter eggs, connections, callbacks. And let's start with the planet and the city that Crosshair and Omega land on is called, well, they crash on, let's be fair, is called Lao. We've seen another Lao before, which is the Club Lao Che, which is also a reference to Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
A lot of
In
Spielberg coming out in these episodes.
Absolutely. In Chinese, Lao also means battle axe or to kill or slaughter. So if you were wondering what type of a place that was.
Not good. Not good, Bob. We
Nope. Not good, Dan.
really gotta get out of here. We gotta get out of here, guys. I thought this was pretty interesting. We see when Hemlock is questioning Nala Se that Hemlock has hand tremors. Just like Crosshair. So maybe Crosshair has been kept around so long so he could help treat Hemlock's condition, or they've been experimenting on Crosshair to like see what would happen, like with this hand tremor thing.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
I was a little confused by this because he's not a clone unless he's like a strand cast or something.
Which is like something is going on. Maybe he experimented on himself. Which
Yeah.
then led to this kind of tremor situation. Like, what you doing, Hemlock? Maybe it was the Slytherin scared him so much that now he's got a permanent hand tremor.
Be. Next up, we have stormtroopers, and they are wearing overcoats, maybe ponchos. Either way, we could tell that their imperial armor cannot withstand the cold of the planet Lao. These guys need some trench coats, some good old stormtrooper, shock trooper gear.
Right? Like, this is kind of like one of those things where you're looking at it and being like, wow, the Empire, their budget's gone way down because the clone troopers didn't seem to have trouble on cold planets with their armor.
Still don't.
Yeah, still don't. So, this is like, I wonder what's different. Wonder where the money's going. Oh, it's going to Hemlock and the Death Star. That is where the money is going, everyone. Speaking of money, the gate officer charges 30,000 credits for the bribe onto a ship, which is like, holy crap. This is way more than Han asked Luke and Obi-Wan for in A New Hope. Like, maybe it's because it's earlier in the Imperial reign, so it's easier to get a hold of cash, but this just seems exorbitant.
Yeah, this is insane.
Like, I don't
Like,
even think Han was paid that much for rescuing Leia.
he
I'm
was
not
getting
sure.
there. He got a lot for that, I think.
I would hope he would have.
Like,
Except, of course, he was like, oh, I can't really take your money because you're all struggling. She's rich. He only took enough for like lunch, gas, and
some
tolls.
tolls. 248 space docks. All right. So then we have this kid outside the bar. He is not selling Meluron fruit, probably to close the light. This stuff is actually called Kachu Kachu fruit. And keep an eye on that kid. He really knows what's going on. He's always got his eyes open, despite the fact
Also,
that you can't see
extort.
his face.
Right, can't see his face. He extorts more money from that.
He extorts 5,000 just to tell them where Batcher went, which, I mean, pay the man.
Yeah, pay the man, get your baby back. But also, like, oh, poor baby. I mean, I do feel bad for this kid. He's trying to sell fruit outside this bar. It's like selling Girl Scout cookies outside a gym. I'm like, what are you doing? What
Right.
are you doing, kid? Oh, this is awesome. We do know that Omega is really good at gambling, so we don't think she's cheating here. Unfortunately, when she beats Captain Man at Baylon's, this is not Sabacc. We found out that. Different game, similar, but different. She doesn't expect him to be a total dick, which, come on, Omega, you should read the room at this point, which she should have. He's voiced by Harry Lloyd, who is most famous for his role as Viserys Targaryen in Game of Thrones, and he was also Professor X in Legion. And, Batcher didn't like him. She growled at him. So that should have been her first hint that we shouldn't like him either.
He also has a very memorable guest spot on Doctor Who.
Yes.
That's part of
Yes, he
the
did.
family of blood. Next up, the shipyard with all the animal crates. Now, there's a few little Easter eggs in here. Definitely think we heard a porg coming out of one of those crates. We don't officially really see what's in the largest and loudest container. My personal guess is that it's a Wrathar. And that's what pulls Captain Man inside with its tentacles. The scene is very reminiscent of the opening sequence to Jurassic Park with the raptor grabbing the handler and eating him. There's also a shot of stampeding kind of ostrich-like creatures, which is very much like the herd of Gallimimus?
Gallimimus? I probably spelled it
Gallimimus?
wrong.
I don't know.
Gallimimus. All I can think of is
Gallimimus.
Joseph Mazzello being like, Gala, Gallimimus.
Gallimimus. From Jurassic Park as well.
And we talked about this a little bit before. One reason the animal menagerie could be here is that this is another part of Hemlock's genetic experimentation. Went completely wrong with the Slithervines, but we're sure it'll be okay with these animals. What
Yes,
can you make
everything
with a
is fine.
porg, by the way? I mean, they're hardy, I guess.
Yeah, you need some fried pork.
Oh no, they're gonna be pork nuggets. See, they're even like giving these poor Imperial troopers bad food.
So speaking, we talked a little bit about the audio earlier, but the music when Crosshair descends to meet his brothers is Kevin Kiner's Crosshair theme, which we have heard before kind of on Crosshair-centric episodes. It really sets the tone and this for the next episode, gearing us up to focus in on Crosshair's reintroduction to the group.
The music is so good. Like when we finally get to his theme, I was like, ooh, 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 I recognize that, Kevin Kiner. What a genius. And of course, we do hear the theme again when we get to Barton 4. This is the planet where Crosshair finally defected against the Empire. The icy planet housed the Imperial base, but also a group of rebels that Crosshair helped eliminate, whoopsies, in season 2. After his fellow trooper
They were
Mayday
dealt
was left
with.
to die. Crosshair killed his superior officer, which is great. He was fed up with the clones treatment. He's like, oh, you actually don't care about us and you're a piece of shit. So I'm just going to shoot you in the back. Okay, bye. And that's how he ended up on Tantus.
And then back on Pabu, Wrecker mentions Shep and Liana, who were two characters that live in the city on Pabu. They have been sending Wrecker and Hunter off with lots of fruits. Got to make sure they get their vitamins on their missions.
No scurvy. No space scurvy for these guys. Oh, I did miss the people on Pabu. They're so nice and kind.
They are.
And they feed you, which is
They feed
like the
you, and
best
they live on a
part.
beach.
Yeah, we live in a beach. We have all this beautiful tropical food. This is basically paradise. I'm sure the planet will be fine, completely fine.
Yes, I'm sure nothing wrong will happen.
Nothing wrong. Nope, nothing. In Star Wars, everything's happy and everyone ends up happy. Speaking of happy, EZ is back. I love him. I can't help it. He's trying to help Crosshair with his training, which was hysterical. The medical droid from Kamino has been around since the Clone Wars, where he bonded with Clone Trooper Fives. He was saved by the Bad Batch and now lives on Pabu. I'm sure he helps them with like medical stuff, which is really fun. He tells Crosshair that his shooting accuracy is 53%, which is not great for a sniper, let alone one with Crosshair's enhancements. Like, he is just hitting above half.
Like our introduction to Crosshair back in the Clone Wars was he ran down a hallway and threw a bunch of mirrors against the wall
Yep.
and able to ricochet bolts off of them to basically shoot around corners with incredible accuracy.
Like 100% accuracy. So this tremor is real bad.
But you know what? He does get his old armor back, and Wrecker gives it to him. It's like how he's like, it never felt right to throw it away, which is just so sweet.
Wrecker is a softie.
No matter how much time has passed, he never gave up on his brother. In the background, Hunter watches the scene, less sure of Crosshair's loyalties. You know, we said before, Crosshair was probably closest to Hunter, which makes it that much more difficult to reconnect. And that betrayal just hits even closer.
You can just tell by the way they act with each other that they had this level of trust before, and that Hunter was just devastated by Crosshair defecting. He just didn't understand how he could leave his brothers behind. And symbolism, yay! A lone ice vulture, which is Crosshair completely, flies over the abandoned base on Barton 4, symbolizing how Crosshair feels in the moment and how he felt when he was on the base in season 2. This loner, loner forever. Mayday died because he'd served his purpose, quotes, to the Empire. Crosshair's always a loner, so he's not able to blend in well with others, which we even saw on Mount Tantus. Like, he stands out. He does not look like a clone, and he knows he's different. Yet he made this friend on this planet only to see him used and thrown aside by the Empire. Like, this moment, like, almost made me tear up when Crosshair finds the pile of trooper helmets left at the base,
Oh, yeah.
including Mayday's, and he's like stacking them, like trying to stack them nicely, like it's kind of a gravesite. And I was like, oh my God, no. tearing up, I'm fine. It's totally fine. I love that Crosshair is this kind of quiet character. Like, he's not going to tell you how he feels, but in this moment, you can tell exactly how he feels about being in this place. Like,
This place where there
curse
are.
you,
This
Dave
place where
Filoni.
there are perimeter sensors, very similar to the sensors used in Rebels Season 3 to keep the Krykna spiders out from Chopper Base. People, when you have sensors like that in a defensive perimeter, don't turn them off.
They're there for a reason. For real, guys, come on. And I did love this too, this little detail. Crosshair's toothpick is back, maybe signaling that he's finally like back in the fold, back with his brothers. However, his hand tremor makes him drop the toothpick moments later. So I'm like, oh my God, you guys, killing me here. They do seem to be setting us up for, I think you mentioned this last week, Crosshair's eventual sacrifice, possible death.
Yeah.
And I think just the strong character work that they've done for Crosshair across the seasons is definitely pointing towards something like this.
And then the sensors that we told you not to turn off. Well, guess what? The reason was they were keeping out a worm, maybe a sandworm from Dune. I mean, this was pretty well timed for the release of Dune 2. Could be, or does have very graboid from Tremors look to it. It is another giant monster. Wrecker points this out in a few moments, wondering why there's always a giant monster in the way. They haven't had to deal with a crate dragon yet, though, so, be glad.
Yeah, no Cray Dragon. That one is probably the biggest monster we've seen, besides maybe the worm on the moon in Empire. Like, that thing's fucking huge, but
That thing was huge.
the Cray Dragon might be the biggest that we've seen. And our boys haven't quite gotten there yet. They're not in Mando territory yet. Another Jurassic Park reference, immediately I was like, Prime the Breaker. When Omega says that to Wrecker, I was like, what? Like, wait, what? Omega tells Wrecker to prime the breaker to get the perimeter power back on, just like John Hammond does with Ellie Sattler in Jurassic Park. Luckily, Samuel L. Jackson's severed arm does not make an appearance here, nor do raptors. Biggest jump scare in the entire Jurassic Park film for me.
That the arm. That's where Mace's hand went after it got chopped off.
Yes, that fits perfectly. Oh, Sam L, we found you. Mace is not alive, but we did find your arm.
Yes. And then lastly, we have Crosshair admits he thought he was being a good soldier. This is kind of the mantra from the end of the Clone Wars, beginning of the Bad Batch. Good soldiers follow orders. The entire premise of the Bad Batch, the series, is very much that no. Crosshair found out the hard way that you should not blindly follow those in charge, especially if they make you turn against the people that you trust the most.
Yeah, maybe the malevolent dictator isn't the person we should be following. Not that they knew that. I did like that Hunter brought up the fact that they didn't really know what was going on, even though, like, come on, Crosshair, you kind of knew at this point
Yeah.
that something not great was happening. I think he just felt like he wasn't even really part of the Bad Batch. So he kind of was in between these two things, and eventually he just chose to stick with the Empire because it was something he knew and was comfortable with,
Yeah.
as opposed to being on the run forever, which, let's be fair, our boys plus Omega have been on the run basically the entire time.
All right. Well, that let's wrap it up then. Final question, predictions. So questions coming out of the episode, predictions for what's coming next. I think we've got one more single and then we get a double episode for like the mid-season, right?
I think so. I'd have to relook at the schedule, but we have a lot of double ups, I think. So I think they're going to be like little mini arcs within the big arc of the entire season. Mainly, I'm hoping that the batch sticks together for a little bit longer. It's tough to keep them all in one place because Echo is still set on helping Rex and helping all of the clones. So I'm thinking they're just all going to be caught up in this mission for a while, if not for the whole season. Like, they might have to split apart occasionally, but I really hope that we get to see Rex back. I want to see Wolf. Like, we still haven't seen Wolf. I want to know where Cody is. Where is he? Where is my guy? Cody's one of my favorites. I want to know where he went. I'd love to see him and Crosshair meet back up and for Cody to be like, I'm proud of you, son, kind of talk with Crosshair. Like, I actually felt like you could probably be different, Crosshair, and I'm really glad to see that you're not a government stooge anymore. Mainly, I just want to catch up with, like, the clones that we know are still around and kind of see how we get to them only being down to three by Rebels. Like, it's possible by the end of this, we'll see the end of the clones,
It is.
which is really, really sad.
Could be.
Oh,
Or
what do you
maybe it's
think?
just that those ones are all on Pabu in
Oh,
secret.
that'd be so great if everyone was on Pabu, except for Rex, who went to go hunt more giant monsters.
Well, he decided to stay registered, so they knew he was still alive.
Yeah, Wolf too, especially.
I'm kind of interested how quickly the Hemlock plot is ultimately going to move, because in this season we don't have a framing device like Sid giving out like mission of the weeks, which
Right.
means that they can focus more on that serialized plot, but that means that it moves a lot faster. So I'm
And it already has.
curious. It already has. So we've got, I think, three left for the first half of the season total. Is it possible that like the hemlock aspect it himself that could like wrap up, and then you're dealing with like Emery or maybe even like Tarkin himself or someone in the second half?
That would be cool to see Tarkin come back and be like,
Like,
why do I always have to get messed up in this?
yeah, like we messed up the operation on Mount Tantus first half, and then second half is dealing with the fallout, and ultimately like are the ultimate end of who survives this series, what is the future for these clones that they freed?
It makes sense. Tarkin would be a much more dangerous adversary, especially since we know he survives until A New Hope, and he is the ruthless administrator that gets shit done. So it would make sense if someone like him would prove to be a bigger bad going into the end of the season. Definitely want to see more about like maybe this is what derails Project Necromancer for so long. Like if Hemlock and his work is destroyed, like I can see Nala Se like throwing a freaking Molotov cocktail into everything and being like, no, fuck you, you bitch. That's my daughter. And so that might be why Necromancer had so much trouble moving forward, because they didn't have the results. They didn't have Omega's information. Like her chain code. They didn't have any information left. That would make a lot of sense. Even though, because Tantus, even in Legends, was still kind of decrepit and run down by the time we get to Heir to the Empire. So that definitely could fit within the timeline. And then we know then why Hemlock's not around later. We still got Krennic and we
Oh,
still have Tarkin.
Hemlock's not making it out of this series. I'll call that right now. He's not making it out.
Prediction granted.
Just like
Yeah, you can't just leave them alive.
what's his name from season one, who we thought was going to be like this
The
huge
big
big
bad.
bad, and then they just did away with him very quickly.
Yeah, he done got did. He got taken out real hard. Like Cyril Karn is living longer than that guy. Let's be fair. No, Hemlock has that feeling of he's going down with the ship. I don't think he's going to be like, not self-sacrificial per se, but I don't think he would be the kind to like hop off the Titanic before anybody else. Like, no, he's going down with his ship because he's going to try and save it. Like, no altruistic motives there. He's just that kind of fanatic. I think he's not going to be like, oh, I'm going to save myself. Goodbye, everyone. Which Palpatine would totally do. No, I don't think Hemlock's that way. I think he'll go down with the ship. It would be awesome if Nalase say killed him. Let's be fair. Now I want to see that. I want to see her just be like, no, fuck you, in her very calm voice.
I told
Ooh.
you it was a false positive.
Not while I'm drinking. Oh my God. Yes. So to recap, we basically want Nala Se to like pull out a blaster and kill Hemlock. I'd like if Emery lived. I think that would be kind of interesting moving forward if we had Emery live. So we'll see. We'll see where we go, folks. Anything else, Anders?
I think we're good.
I think we are too. All right. Well, thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at YASWPod. Follow us wherever you're getting your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button. Check out our previous episodes on the main Star Wars films and other great Star Wars content, like Star Wars Rebels, which I have started a rewatch again. And join us next time when we take a look at the next episodes of The Bad Batch Season 3. Until then, for the love of God, don't turn off the damn perimeter devices unless you know how to deal with the local wildlife. Anders.
I live in
Bye,
harmony with nature.
everybody. Yeah, nature's cool. We love nature. Bye,
Everybody.
everyone.